Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's travel. I was going to say Bradenton, and then I was going to say Cincinnati, but somewhere in between, we find Post-Gazette Pirates beat writer Dr. Jason Mackey. What state are you in, Mackey?
Dr. Starkey, I am in Georgia. I am a little outside of Atlanta, and the weather is getting precipitously worse. And I mean precipitous as in precipitation. It's not fun.
You now, like that horse?
When do you have to be there by?
Tomorrow. They work out at noon in Cincinnati. So I'm driving all day today. I'll get in tomorrow morning.
I suggest you stop in Atlanta right at the Marriott downtown and partake in some great Southern food and then pick up your trip tomorrow.
A lot of driving for the early morning hours there, horse.
Maybe it'll be nicer weather.
A little further tonight.
All right.
Maybe.
Where are you going to stay tonight? What's the plan?
I don't know. I might stay somewhere in Tennessee, Knoxville, somewhere in there, see what makes sense. I want to try to knock out as much as I possibly can today, and then whenever I get tired, I'll just sleep.
All right.
Hopefully in a hotel and not on the side of the road.
Yes, that would be good. All right, we're very curious about the Pirates here, and Jason's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. How close are we to the final roster here?
We're basically there, Joe. I expect JT Brubaker to begin on the IL, Johan Oviedo to take his rotation spot, Folsy read off the Kanan Smith and Jigba G1 Bay, Jason DeLay news. There's probably one more spot in the bullpen to be determined. At this point, I expect it to be Rob Zastrzyzny, who most people listening will say, who? But you can add another left-hander. They could probably use another left-hander. Zastrzyzny's been good this spring. Still a little bit debatable, but, I mean, we're basically one move away from having a set opening day roster.
We're perplexed here. Why no Swaggerty on this roster? Connor Joe, really? I mean, is he going to actually start the opener? Why is he on the roster and not a guy that they drafted in the first round who had a great spring and who's 25 years old?
I know. It's been a little bit weird, Joe. I do understand this reasoning with Swaggerty, and I'll explain it this way. He does need to continue playing and doing what he's doing. I don't think it's the best for him to come up to the major leagues and sit on the bench. He's been really good, like decidedly different than anything we've seen out of Swaggerty so far. Keep playing him.
Who's he sitting on the bench for? Connor Joe?
Yeah, I mean, that's what people are going to say, sure. Or Jack Sawinski, I know he struck out a lot this spring. Andrew McCutchen, like, I don't know. You want to probably play Kanan Smith and Jigba a little bit. I mean, yes, you could sit him down there every day and play him. So I understand the fallacy in that argument. But you can guarantee Swaggerty plays every day in AAA. Let him keep crushing the ball and bring him up there.
I don't know, Folsy. I don't like it.
Yeah,
do you? That's not convincing to me. He can play all the time here. If Connor Joe doesn't, you have Reynolds, you have Sawinski, you have McCutchen, who could DH. Who's the fourth guy who's going to get all this playing time at the expense of Swaggerty? Connor Joe and Jigba? Who?
Probably both, Joe. And I mean, I struggle to explain it because I don't agree with it. I'd have Swaggerty on my team. I'm trying to give you their reasoning.
Their reasoning stinks.
That's fine, but that's my job as a reporter to explain what they're thinking.
I know.
you can criticize it, and that's fine. Everybody can rip it. I don't agree with it myself. I thought Swaggerty was their best player this spring. I think he finally realized what he could be. He's their best defensive outfielder. I mean, they're still trying to shoehorn Jack Suwinski into center.
He's their best defensive? Falsey, he's also their best defensive outfielder? Why isn't he playing?
I don't know, Joe.
I guess Jason just explained from their perspective. I still don't know their perspective.
It's not strong enough.
Go ahead, Falsey. I'm sorry for
interrupting. It's not on Jason. It's on them.
It's not on Jason. He's focusing on the road.
No, I'm fine. I don't think their evaluation or their thoughts on Travis, I think they've improved this spring. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, this is not one of their guys. And that's sort of my suspicion that, like, you know, that's being held against Travis Swaggerty because he wasn't one of their trade acquisitions. He wasn't one of their draft picks. You know, I don't know that. There's not, you know, intel that's being spewed into my head because of it. But you see it. You see that happen.
I know. I hear it. That's
the same.
Well, if that's has
ridiculous.
Anything to do with it, then that's really a strike against them. So tell me what they think of Connor Joe. He's one of their guys. What does he offer? And listen, I don't know a lot about him. I look at his track record. What's he bringing?
I mean, people are going to take this as an endorsement of Connor Joe, which it's not. I'm trying to answer the question. He can play multiple positions. He can play left or right and first base. I think they like that. Anybody that can play the infield and outfield, it's like their goal. And Swaggerty does not play the infield. I think there's probably more of a sure on-base percentage at this point. Again, not a reason, not why I'd stick with it. I will say this in explaining the timeline, Joe. They didn't know Travis Swaggerty was going to do what he's done when they brought in Connor Joe. And because of the way baseball contracts are, like, they're committed to paying Connor Joe for this season. Now, yes, they could trade him. They could try to do something. I don't know what Connor Joe would bring back. You know, even if you try to get him off the roster, like, you're still paying him. So I think they want to try to get something out of him. They don't have to keep him at this point. Theoretically, you could let him produce for 2 months and then make a move and then bring up Swaggerty, I think, is probably the way this could happen.
Jason, do you get the sense at all that Ben Cherington and company have adopted that line of thinking that Neil Huntington did, where these guys come up and they stink at first and it's going to ruin them forever because they struggle at the major league level at first?
I worry about that, Folsey, sometimes. I think it's case by case. Like with Swaggerty last year, yes, I worry about that. With other guys, not so much. With other guys, we see them get way too much run. You know, look at Tom. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago. Like, you know, they give some guys 9 lives. I don't understand why. And then there are other scenarios. You know, Andy Rodriguez is one that has people in an uproar where they get skittish over bringing a guy up because he might fail at something. And for Andy, it's not hitting, it's catching. So I don't know if there's a blanket, like they get scared because a guy's going to fail, or if he fails, they're not going to give him another chance. Like, they've given guys chances. They've given some guys too many chances, and they've slowed played others. So I don't know if I have a read on that.
Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette, driving through the state of Georgia, even as we speak, from Bradenton to Cincinnati. Anybody else that you believe should be on the team that's not?
You know, I go back and forth on Andy, Joe. I don't know if you'll let me expound on that one for a second, because, I mean, like, I watched him catch. And
hold on a second. Are you implying that I haven't let you expound on other things?
No. I'm not. I just said Andy, so I feel like I'm doubling up on an answer, and I'm kind of cheating. But
no,
there's something
cheat,
I wanted
please.
To say about Andy.
Yeah, no, the floor is. I'm not Ron. You don't have to fight me. The floor is yours on Andy Rodriguez.
So, I watched him all spring. And he is not ready to catch in the major leagues. But nobody is saying he needs to catch every day in the major leagues. You also brought in a guy, Austin Hedges, who is really, really good at teaching and mentoring. I can't say enough positive things about this guy's defense and his demeanor. Like, he hasn't hit a lick, but who cares? So if you want to make Andy Rodriguez a better catcher, and he has hit, isn't a reasonable argument, especially when you haven't had anybody else assume that number two catcher position. Like, they chose between Jason DeLay and Tyler Heineman, and it really wasn't the winner. It was just by default. Why not give Andy Rodriguez a look and let him learn? If you want him to get better, put him around somebody who's really good at what they do. that works in any profession. You know, if I want to be a better writer and I'm going to be around a writer who's really good, I could get better. So I don't totally understand, you know, you're saying somebody that could fit on the roster or should be on the roster. I've really kind of changed my tune on Endy. Not that I changed my sort of view and how I don't think he's ready, but I think he could really benefit from being up at Pittsburgh.
You like the idea of keeping both Henry Davis and Andy Rodriguez at catcher at the major league level?
I don't know, Foldy. I don't know. I think it depends because they both need work, right? And Andy's really athletic. He can run around. He's got a good arm. But again, like I've watched him, you know, his throwing, he spikes so many of his throws like right over the pitcher's mound. And they're not accurate whatsoever. He has difficulty as well as he moves keeping the ball in front of him. So if Endy isn't able to do that stuff consistently enough, then no, I wouldn't keep him at catcher at the major league level. I'd move him to somewhere where he can take advantage of his athleticism. I think Henry is a little bit more of a natural catcher. He does those things better. He's a better natural blocker. He's a better receiver. I think he probably thinks the game a little bit more than Endy. Endy's more of an athletic read and react type. So I would just let it play out. Like, I'd just like to see more of those guys catching, whether it's at AA, AAA, the major leagues. You know, and that's another thing. You could, if you brought Endy up to the major leagues where he showed he's ready with the bat, you could put Henry at AAA and get him more advanced competition. I'm not sure Henry is going to start at AA, has a whole lot to gain there.
Now you have me concerned about Endy Rodriguez playing catcher in his defense. This is the first I've heard. I thought he was improving there. I thought he was the best catching prospect maybe in the minors. I realize that's for his bat more than anything else, but you make it sound like he may not even be good enough to be a major league catcher defensively.
No, I mean, that's an unfair judgment to make based on one spring training, Joe. But I mean, I think there is, like, you watch Endy Rodriguez and he's not going to blow your doors off with his defense. He's going to blow your doors off with his athleticism and his bat. And that's been his calling card so far. And that's why they're talking about other positions for him, because he probably can do other things. And he's such an advanced hitter that it might make sense. I mean, he would be the 9,000th catcher to be moved off of the position because he's good offensively. But you know, if he really improves, which he's certainly capable of doing, maybe he sticks. I don't know. I was talking with a scout yesterday that had the same concerns that I did, having watched Endy Rodriguez and thinking, like, man, he moves really well. He does everything you would want. Sometimes he looks spectacular. It's just not consistent enough. So, again, it's not to bag on him. I mean, maybe what I saw just happened to be bad. That's why I'm not a scout and I'm a writer. But I'm just saying that, like, what I've seen, you know, it shows some of the inconsistency that he needs to improve.
That's interesting. Did the Pirates roll out the opening day lineup today in spring training?
Darn close, I think, Folsy. Darn close. I think, you know, in an ideal world, I think they'd probably get McCutchen in the outfield off the DH spot that allows G-Man Choi to DH. I think they want Choi to get regular at-bats. They're certainly paying him to have regular at-bats. The longer Kutch's elbow is, you know, kind of dinged up, it's the tougher situation that puts them in, because they've got Kutch, they've got Choi, they've got Santana, basically three guys for two spots. But other than that, yeah, I think you're basically looking at it.
Is Kutch going to play in the opener?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I fully expect him to play in the opener. But, I mean, Shelton said yesterday in Fort Myers that, like, early on they're just going to be a little cautious with him in the outfield, which means, you know, you're basically rotating him and Choi at DH, or Choi and Carlos Santana at first. So you're just, you know, splitting up reps there a little bit more.
How about Castro at second? He's my new favorite player. Is he safe there? Is he the everyday guy there? What's happening?
He's your new favorite player starting right now?
Yeah, I love him. And I think he's going to hit 25. I think he's going to hit 25 home runs. I do.
I don't know if I'm seeing 25 home runs in there, Joe, but I think there's certainly the potential there. I like him a lot as a hitter. I would have liked to have seen more from him this spring, but, like, it came in short bursts. He had a couple swings, a couple periods where you can see how easily some of the power comes. He's been working through some swing changes and stuff left-handed. I'm not terribly concerned with that. I like how athletic he is. I like how powerful he is. He's going to get the bulk of the reps at second base, not to dance around the question. I think they'll sprinkle in G1 Bay occasionally too. But, you know, they're probably going to save Bay for maybe some late-game situation stuff, have him back up O'Neill Cruz. I think you're going to see Castro play a lot at second. The defense is still a little bit of a development, but the power's there. If he can cut down the swing and miss and make more consistent contact.
Give me the power. Give me the power. Give me the bat. He can leave his glove at the hotel. Fulzy?
He laughed at your notion, Joe, at first.
I know.
Jason, what is your read on the Brian Reynolds contract situation? Anything change there?
Yeah, I mean, that's one reason, but people are going to laugh at this. That's one reason why, you know, I'm on my way to Cincinnati. Like, I've certainly heard from people that they expect or, you know, are optimistic that something gets done, and the day for that would be Wednesday. So I wanted to make sure that I was there. Now, I want to couch that or balance it with I've also heard from people who think that they don't think it's going to get done. But I guess I would frame it in this way, guys. Like, it's not the type of thing where everybody's saying, oh, that ship sailed. It's not going to happen. You know, he's going to get traded. Like, there's a chance this thing could happen. I'm not saying there's a good chance. I'm not saying, you know, whatever. I'm just saying that it is posited. You know, I would say agents, scouts, that sort of thing, people that I talk to, you know, there's some level of optimism that this can happen. So I don't disagree with it. I mean, I've had off-the-record conversations with both sides. Both talking about a desire to keep Brian, a desire for Brian to stay there. We have to make the money work. Maybe we can find a midpoint. You know, that sounds good, but when you get in the negotiating room, does it come together? We're going to find out.
And the numbers that we should go with when we argue about this after you're gone is 6 years, $80 million approximately was the Pirates' offer, and Reynolds wants approximately 8 years, $134 million, correct?
Correct.
All right. Then I have a little free association for you, Jason, as you're driving along in Georgia. Short question and very short answers. Even if you only have one word, that's fine. Ready?
Yes.
The Pirates will take Dylan Cruz, the LSU outfielder, as the number one overall pick.
Yes.
I like that, don't you, Fulzy?
Love it.
Key Brian Hayes will hit how many home runs this season? Over, under 15 and a half.
Over, but not by much.
The Pirates leader in wins will be who?
Mitch Keller.
Very interesting. The first pitcher up from the minors will be who?
Luis Ortiz.
I like that answer. Nick Gonzalez will reach the majors this year.
Yes, but only in September, and it won't be long.
Andy Rodriguez will be here by mid-season.
Yes.
Henry Davis will reach the majors this year.
Yes.
Give me another name or two of prospects that will reach the majors this season.
This isn't a sexy one, nothing against that, but Colin Selby, relief prospect, is somebody that it doesn't get talked about enough, throws upper 90s really good. And then I'll give you two more, Mike Burrows, Quinn Freester. I think they get up here.
Ooh.
Travis Swaggerty will be here before the end of June.
Yes.
Jack Sawinski will thrive in his new role.
No.
I'm kind of with you on that one. Give us a number of wins. You were ultra optimistic last year. Give us your Pirate win total.
That was 2 years ago, Joe. I had 100 losses last year, but fair enough.
Yeah, that was optimistic too.
I'm going 74 wins.
Anything else, Fulzy? Who's taking Brubaker's spot in the rotation?
Johan Oviedo.
I have a general question for Jason. This doesn't have to be, like, you know, a short answer. Do the Pirates have a good bullpen or not? I really don't know.
Let me shorten that to one.
I don't either.
Let me shorten that to, maybe I can put a little touch on this one, Fulzy.
Sure, please.
Other than Bednar, who is the other guy, if there is one, who's going to take some high leverage? Who's the second best guy there?
Colin Holderman would be my answer, Joe. And I honestly... Let me tackle both of these.
Wasn't he involved in the Watergate scandal? Go ahead. Half the people listening have never even heard of him.
I think he's a little younger than that.
Okay.
But Holderman's who they got back for Daniel Vogelbach from the Mets.
Yes, I remember that.
He was a Mets setup guy and had a really good year. Throwing like 99. He just had a shoulder thing that he tried to push through last year. I expect this kid to be really good and be Bednar's primary setup guy. And get this, Joe, you'll like this. His nickname obviously is Holdy. He's pitching the eighth inning. If he gets and does his job, what does he get?
A hold.
A hold.
You like that horse?
Holdy getting hold.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. All right, some other over-unders and leaders. Who's going to lead this team in home runs?
Oh, I'm going to go with O'Neill Cruz.
O'Neill Cruz will be a 30-30 guy.
No.
Brian Reynolds will still be here at the end of the year.
Yes, because he's going to have a long-term extension.
I was just going to ask that. He's going to sign a long-term extension before the season.
I'm going out on a limb. I'm saying it gets done, Joe. Saying it gets done.
McCutchen, over under 15.5 homers.
Under.
Bolzy, would you like to add any over-unders? Maybe a little Mitch Keller? Maybe a little, I forgot. The Rich Hill. Is he still here at the end of the year?
No.
Does Rich Hill celebrate his 70th birthday in Pittsburgh?
I hope so. Maybe he'll be back pitching here for his third tour with the Pirates.
He might as well. He can get the early bird special. Bolzy?
Over-under 18.5 homers, Jack Sawinski.
Under.
Jack Sawinski finishes the year in the minors.
No, I think he goes. I think he finishes in the major leagues, but I think there's a stint that ends up coming in the minors.
Thank you, Mackie.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Be Bye, safe Jason. Out there. Have a good drive.
All right. Very well.
Wow, do we have a lot of fodder from that conversation, Folsey?
We do.
Don't we?
Yes. And the Brian Reynolds thing, he
says it's going to happen.
Can you call him? It's going to happen.
Text him. I need to text. We never asked him. I was remiss. So are you, actually, in asking what he thinks the parameters of that deal will be. Can you call him back during this time?
Sure.
Not right now, but in a minute.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Are you as confident as Mackie that this is going to get done? 412-928-9370. Dan Rosen. On to talk NHL. Man, I want to ask him about these Bruins. This is just nuts what they're doing. All of that ahead here on Cook and Joe.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hockey season is truly heating up. And here to talk about that and a very, very interesting opening to his weekly mailbag, I might add, Mr. Dan Rosen from NHL.com. He's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real life magic for guests. Dan, it's a pleasure to have you. Everything well?
Everything's good. How are you guys?
We've never been better. A man asked you at the beginning of your mailbag about John Gibson in Anaheim and whether he would move on. You said there are two schools of thought I have with Gibson and his value to the Ducks. One, they need him, could stabilize the team as they continue their rebuild. Two, they're not close yet to being a playoff contender, so why would they need a number one goalie who's 29 and in his prime? The Penguins could use him, you said. What would it take to get him? Because I know things happen fast in the goalie world. 2 weeks from now, Tristan Jarry could be red hot and leading the Penguins, you know, to a playoff upset or something. But in the meantime, exactly nobody wants to see him re-sign here. What would it take to get Gibson, the Pittsburgh native?
Yeah, it's a good question what it would take to get him. I mean, the Penguins have their first round pick. They do not have a second round pick. And I think they have one third round pick. I don't even think it's their own, but I think they have a third round pick this year. It would be a move that the Penguins would make if they, if this were to happen, you know, if he would become available on the open market here for a trade, it would be a move that the Penguins would make to try to win, you know, within the window that they have here of Crosby signed for two more years after this one and Malkin signed for three more. I really look at it as a 2 year window with Sidney Crosby, depending on what goes on after that last year of his contract or in that last year of his contract. I mean, Gibson, like I said, is 29 years old and he's in the prime of his career and he signed for, I believe, four more years. So I don't think he would come cheap. I really don't. What it would cost would be, I don't know. I mean, like, I would think you'd have to give up your first round pick at minimum, right? I mean, to at least in a deal to get him, maybe, you know, a pick and a prospect. That's really where the Ducks would be leaning, because they are in a rebuild, or picking a player off your roster that, you know, they, that may be young enough that they think that they can do something with, you know, maybe a guy like Joseph or, you know, somebody else like that. That's kind of what I would be looking at if I was Anaheim. I just think it's fascinating because there really is, as I said, two schools of thoughts with John Gibson, a Pittsburgh native, obviously. And, you know, where do the Ducks lean on this? Because you keep him, you can't be wrong. But you trade him, you can't be wrong either with the situation that they're in right now. And I don't think you need a number one goalie until you're ready to win. And they could go sign Tristan Jarry if they wanted to do it, and it wouldn't cost them as much as John Gibson right now.
Here's my concern, and whenever I see Gibson, I love the guy. He's like, he strikes me as a workhorse and a really talented player, but it's undeniable that early in his careers, he put up monster numbers and looked like he was going to be a perennial all-star. And then the last four seasons, his save percentage is .904, .903, .904, .900. Is that the product of playing on a mostly bad team? Or what's happened with him over these years? Is he a lesser goalie?
No, I think he's just on a team that doesn't really help him that much. I think you put John Gibson on a team that's much better in front of him. And I, you know, I think he's a perennial all-star. He's one of the best goalies in the league, if you ask me. And look at his numbers right now. He's faced the most shots in the league of any goalie in the league. And there's goalies in the league that have played in six or seven more games than him. Yet he's faced the most shots. Which is telling, you know, like, I mean, you think, look at a guy like Connor Hellebuck, right? Connor Hellebuck has played, I believe Connor Hellebuyck leads the league in games played this season right now, and he's third in shots against. Winnipeg's a better team. They're not great, but they're better. Anaheim gives up a ton. They don't have the puck a lot. They give up a ton of shots. He's under pressure all game long. And it wears on a guy, and there's only so much you can do. You can only put a hero so long, right? So I think that's really a product. The fact that he's got a 900 save percentage, to me, is like, wow. It's actually really impressive that he does with the amount of pressure that he is under on a game-to-game basis.
Now, I have heard through the grapevine that he loves California, loves living out there. Do you think that... He would want to come home to Pittsburgh. Sometimes that can be a great thing to go home again, sometimes not. Have you heard anything, and what's your gut feel on that?
I haven't heard anything. I don't know the answer to that. I know hockey players, though, and a lot of them do love the idea of going to get a chance to play in their home market. There's a comfort in that. I think in hockey than in other sports, to be honest with you. You see it more like, oh, he's going to get a chance to go home and play, right? There's something to that. Does it mean that's what it is for Gibson? I couldn't speak to that. I really don't know. But I will tell you this. I know the type of player he is and the type of personality that he has as a competitor, and he doesn't want to lose for the next 4 years of his career either. You know, like he wants to be on a winning team. He wants to win hockey games. He wants an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. And right now in Anaheim, he's not going to get that for the next little while here. Even if they fast track a rebuild, it's still going to take some time. And he's in the middle of it right now. He's 29 years old. He signed for 4 more years after this one. This is his big time, his big contract. This is it for him. You know, this is the big moment these next 3, 4, 5 years. You think he wants to spend it rebuilding? I don't. So we'll see where it goes. The Ducks are under no pressure to trade him unless Gibson's putting pressure on them, which I can't speak to. I would never say yes or no to that. I don't know. They're under no pressure to trade him. They got the goalie they got signed here. You know, they don't have to do anything. So I think in order to do it, a team's going to have to come in with an offer that really, you know, it blows them away.
So, Dan, just by the simple fact that we're having this conversation, are we saying that Tristan Jarry is no longer a number one goalie, or that he's not reliable or maybe available enough to be a number one goaltender into the future?
Well, I think the last two things you said there, reliable and available, right? I mean, I was just talking about this or something. Staying healthy is a skill, right? I mean, you have to be able to do that. And Jarry gets hurt a lot. He's also a young goalie still. He's 27. He's good. He can put up numbers. He can be a good goaltender in this league. We've seen that. If he was healthy all the time, I don't think we'd be having this conversation. I really don't. But he's not healthy all the time, and that's why you have this conversation. Is he going to return? I don't know. I think you have to weigh the cost-benefit of it. You know, like, what's it going to cost? I think he's making 3.5 now. You know, if you're going to treat him as a number one, he's going to want more than that in his next deal. And is that worth it, you know, for a guy who has, you know, through the course of his, you know, career, which doesn't span too long yet. I mean, I think he's approaching 200 games played. You know, he played in almost 60 last year. He's not going to get to 50 this year. You know, I mean, where are we looking at that, you know, with an injury-prone guy? Getting hurt at the wrong time, too, by the way, you know, in the playoffs, or the team's in a playoff chase. You know, you don't love that. But we'll see. I don't want to say he's not a number one goalie. I think he certainly can be a number one goalie. But part of being a number one goalie is being available to play 55 to 60 games every season.
So I see a tweet, I think this is from somebody who covers the Ducks here, back about a month ago. It said, significant interest in before the trade deadline in Anaheim goaltender John Gibson, but legitimate concern of his injury history. That was a long time ago. I guess it might be instructive when we're considering Jarry that guys can overcome that type of history. I guess I wasn't really aware of that with Gibson, Dan.
Well, I hadn't thought of that either. I mean, you look at John Gibson as a guy who's played 50-plus games every year, you know? I mean, for the past 5, 6, 7 seasons, except for, you know, the shortened season because of COVID. I mean, the guys played in, you know, mid-50s every year. I think he had 60 once. I mean, that's reliable. That's where you are. The days of Marty Brodeur playing 78 games or whatever it was, those are gone. You don't even want your goalie really hitting the 60 mark this year, you know, in these days, 62. You want your backup playing 25 to 30 games. So if you're a goalie and you're hitting 55 games on average, to me, that's pretty good.
And sticking with the goalies, Dan, do they need to have Tristan Jarry, quote-unquote, get right before the playoffs or going into the playoffs to have a chance in a first-round series? Or can Casey DeSmith be good enough to maybe give them, not win a series, because we haven't seen that in the cup in a couple of years, but at least give them a chance to win a series?
Well, I think Casey DeSmith can give them a chance to win a series. I mean, why not? I mean, he is a NHL goalie, you know, like there is that, you know, like he can be good for a stretch of time here, but I don't think he's a number one. His numbers are comparable in a sense to Tristan Jarry's this season. The goals against are a little higher. The save percentage a tick lower, but pretty comparable numbers. No matter who it is, I mean, they'll tell you the same thing. You know, they're going to have to play a lot better in front of the goalies than they've been. They can't give up. You know, they can't go periods on a time where they're not playing defense, where they're not handling the puck well, where they're turning it over and it's time, you know, possession after possession after possession, where they're at a 3-0 league and then lead and then it's bang 3-3. You know, they can't happen if they get in the playoffs. But I would be more comfortable, and this is no slight to Casey DeSmith, but I would just be more comfortable with Tristan Jarry being healthy and ready to go for game one, figuring it against Boston or Carolina, right, than I would be if it was Casey DeSmith.
Dan Rosen of NHL.com. You can read his stuff on that site, including his weekly mailbag, which is tremendous. Can I get your NHL award winners, Dan? I'm assuming Connor McDavid for the heart. We can move on from that.
Yeah, he's kind of running away with that, you know, and I think Jim Montgomery is running away with Jack Adams. I think Linus Ullmark is running away as well with, you know, with the Vezina, as you know, I think that's happening. The Norris Trophy to me is the interesting one. It might be the most interesting one because you have Erik Karlsson, who very well could be a 100-point defenseman this year.
Wow.
You know, on a bad team. Like, what are we saying? Okay, it's a bad team, but this isn't an MVP award. It's the best defenseman, right? You don't have to – for me, the Hart Trophy has to be a guy who – is the most valuable player to his team. I mean, like he has been, I think his team has to be in the playoffs. There can be outliers, but I really do think that for the Hart Trophy, when you use that word value, I think that needs to be a guy who leads his team to the playoffs and is the biggest reason probably why. And that's Connor McDavid. That's what he's doing right this year. And Leon Draisaitl's an unbelievable player, but Connor McDavid is even a step above that. But Erik Karlsson could be a 100-point defenseman this year. Don't take his plus-minus into account because, again, it's not a great team, doesn't have great goaltending. I don't know how he doesn't get it at this point. You know, like the way he's played, it's been start to finish with Karlsson. But then you look at, you know, Adam Fox has been really good for the Rangers. They're a really good team. You know, Rasmus Dahlin, they may not make the playoffs, the Sabres, but they're much better than the San Jose Sharks, and they're in the mix, and Dahlin's been outstanding this season, you know? So Dougie Hamilton's had a great year with the New Jersey Devils. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I do look at it, even Josh Morrissey. But I look at Erik Karlsson, and it's taken me this long to get here with Erik Karlsson, but I think at the end of the day, if I had a vote, it would be Erik Karlsson.
How about a handful of front runners for the Lady Bing?
No.
I can't believe that this thing is still an award. Do guys must not want to win this. Is it embarrassing to win this?
That's a great question.
Folsy, you have a favorite for the Lady Bing?
No, I don't.
You know what? Hey, why not Connor McDavid?
Why not? Why not Connor McDavid, Folsy?
Why not Nathan MacKinnon? Why Mitch Marner? I mean, you look at guys like Elias Pettersson. I always look at guys who are big, productive guys who don't spend much time at all in the penalty box. Elias Pettersson never goes to the penalty box. McDavid rarely. McKinnon rarely. You know, Jack Hughes almost never goes to the penalty box, and he's had a terrific season. Maybe it's Jack Hughes. Let's give it to Jack Hughes.
Okay.
How do you see the wild card race shaping out? Who gets those final two spots? Does it stay as it is right now?
Well, I think with, you know, the Islanders beating the Devils last night and taking a 6-point advantage now on Florida, who was in that spot and now has lost four in a row since getting in that spot. The Islanders, I know the Panthers have a game in hand on them, but it's a 6-point differential. And it's funny, right? I mean, you look at it like, okay, is Ottawa still in the race? Ottawa's only 5 points out, right? So why would we say that the Islanders wouldn't make it when they're 6 points up? So I think the Islanders are in, and unless the Panthers can turn, we know how the Penguins go, right? They can get hot and then they can get really cold. They're a 3-point lead. They have a game in hand. The Panthers are cold. The Sabres aren't getting it done. I got to think it's Pittsburgh, that they'll grind it out and get in there. And keep this playoff streak alive. I think that happens.
Dan, great stuff as always, and we appreciate you coming on. Hopefully we'll talk once again before the playoffs. Hopefully there will be playoffs for the Penguins that we can talk about. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
The great Dan Rosen. Falsey, why is there a Lady Bing Award still? I mean, it's got to be the most ridiculous trophy in the history of sports.
And it's just the name of it, too.
Yeah.
Like, as a hockey player, do you want to win an award called the Lady Bing?
I'm trying to think of an equivalent in the NFL, the most gentlemanly offensive lineman. You know what I mean?
Right. The softest lineman out there. Right. Who's cute and cuddly among the trenches?
They got to do away with that, Folsy.
Or at least rebrand it somehow.
It's idiotic even for what it is.
Yeah, you're right.
The guy who's penalized the least who still scores. So what? I can't believe it. The guy who fouls the fewest amount of times in the NBA but still scores a bunch of points.
What is it exactly rewarding? Is it just clean play?
It's gentlemanly play. Let me get the definition of this thing.
Sportsmanship? Do we shake hands every time everybody scores a goal on you? Or
can you decline this thing? Like you decline a penalty in football? I don't want the Lady Bing. I don't want to be there at the awards in Vegas and they announce my name as the Lady Bing winner.
Do you think any Lady Bing trophy winners have that trophy on their mantle somewhere? Do you think it's present and for people to see?
No, I don't. It's an award given to, quote, the player adjudged to have exhibited the best type of sportsmanship and gentlemanly conduct combined with a high standard of playing ability. What? Hold on a second here. Bill Quackenbush was the first winner.
They should have just ended it right there.
How many times did Quackenbush, here's a trivia question for you. No goalie has won the award. Quackenbush, Kelly, I don't know if that's Red Kelly. It was. And Brian Campbell were the only defensemen to win. Quackenbush in 49. Won the Lady Bing.
It's just a fun name to say.
Do you think? All right, now I'm going to look up Bill Quackenbush. Have you ever heard of him?
I have not.
Did you ever hear One-Eyed Frank McGee for the Canadians way back when?
No. I know Pavel Datsyuk won it every year for, like, you know, what was it, 5 or 6 years?
This guy lived in Newtown, PA late in his years. His original full name was Hubert George Quackenbush. He was born in Toronto, known as Bill Quackenbush. Played for the Bruins and Red Wings. First defenseman to win the Lady Bing. He played the entire, I guess when you look at it this way, Folsy, he was a defenseman who played the entire season without a penalty. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's insane.
Quackenbush, considered to be an elite offensive defenseman, was named to the NHL All-Star team 5 times, played in 8 NHL All-Star Games and was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Quackenbush is a Hall of Famer.
How about that?
You didn't know that.
Neither did you?
We should know more about Quackenbush. He coached at Princeton for 18 years. And he also coached men's golf, the men's and women's hockey teams, and he won 8 Ivy League championships with the golf team and 3 with the women's hockey team, Quackenbush did.
Gretzky, Lemieux, Orr, Quackenbush.
That's right. He also played pro soccer, this guy, Quackenbush.
Jeez, he's an athlete.
I can't believe this. This is unbelievable as I read this. It is.
How good do you have to be to win it, too? Like, what's the standard of play?
Quackenbush was the master of the poke check, it says. It does. He excelled at getting loose pucks and clearing them out of the defensive zone. Well, that's what a defenseman does, Falsey, right?
I'm trying to come up with a duck pun for all of this, and it's not coming to me.
This is unbelievable. All right, what did you say? What did you ask?
I forget. They say high level of play. Well, what does that mean? I mean, how good do you have to really be?
To win the Lady Bing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like they gave it to Datsyuk because they just had nobody else that they were willing to give it to for years.
I didn't consider, like, Datsyuk had like, a little edge to his game, didn't he?
What did he do that was so gentlemanly?
I don't know.
Did he hand out compliments on the ice?
I don't know what he did.
Hey, good shot there.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Hey, you really skate nice. I like it.
Yeah. He wanted, wow. From Datsyuk was a 4-time defending Lady Bing winner.
Yeah, 06
to 09. Ron Francis won this thing 3 times. Who won the most Lady Bings, Bolsey?
Don't know. Marty St. Louis 3 times.
What? Marty St. Louis was not a gentlemanly player.
I didn't think so.
They don't even give it to the right people.
Gretzky won it in 99.
Rick Kehoe won this thing in 81. We can ask him about it. Gilbert Perreault in 73.
Joe Mullen a couple times.
I wonder if one-eyed Frank McGee ever won this thing. Frank
doesn't
Niebuhr.
Look like.
Frank Niebuhr. Frank Niebuhr and Billy Birch were the first two winners back in the early 20s.
And I thought it was Quackenbush.
No, along came Quackenbush in 49. He was the first defenseman, Folsey. Get your facts right.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Yeah. Then Camille Henry won it. All right. We've exhausted
that topic. We're done with this.
We still have a lot to talk about. You can listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Mackie was on with us earlier and it wasn't yet breaking news, but man, he sure sounded optimistic about something regarding the Pirates. I'll tell you what that was. Also, I wanted to get into a couple of mailbag questions here with Folsey, including someone questioning the job Brian Flores did with the Steelers. And Dan Rosen saying John Gibson would make a lot of sense, Pittsburgh native, as the Penguins' future goalie. We have a lot to get to in our final hour here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Hosted host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.